know he had asked about doing it here.
Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanic, and Native. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanic, and Native.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this lower state? We let the script prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The script say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power, it's the what? Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but for some reason,
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
One back. Didn't give me the cost.
Different then. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour. All right, I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath, Israel. Most High in Christ. Blessed, Captain Amariah.
Happy Sabbath to the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Greetings.
All praise to the Most High in Christ for another blessed Sabbath. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Yes. If you'd like to find out more about your true heritage, being an Israelite, what that means, how to keep and conduct yourself, you can go to IsraelUnite.org, IsraelUnite.org, for more learning and understanding. Additionally, if you're after the Sabbath is over, if you're looking to purchase any apparel, art, fringes, Bibles, music, whatever it might be, you can go to OriginalRoyalty.com and represent your Israelite culture.
That is originalroyalty.com.
That is correct. So today's topic, we're going to jump right in because we do have the late start. And it's interesting, we got the late start, but we're talking about fruits of self-control, right?
Bruh.
Goes to show you we're all subject to that stuff. I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of these. I had did this as a Sabbath class back in the summer of last year, and we had some technical issues, so that's why it hasn't dropped on the IUIC Phoenix page. I was just advised by the editors that it'll probably be ready soon to be put up. But in lieu of that, I said, hey, you know, let's talk about this. I had really wanted that class to go up kind of at the time, and I said, let's just kind of mull it over and discuss it. We can do it, you know, in an hour. We'll probably not get through all these things, but why don't we throw it up there? Yep, there we go. So I had seen this, right? One of the brothers here posted in the soldiers group.
Oh, that was an excellent class too, bro.
And I said, hey, this is good stuff. I said, you know, we talk about fruits of the spirit and fruits of the flesh, right? And I said, well, let me see what's going on with this, you know, and we'll see. Again, we'll see how much we can get through and go through it. So it says here the fruits of self-control. And you have there mastering of moods, right? So that's dealing with ruling your spirit. And I like that one's first. In my opinion, that's probably one of the most important things we can learn to do as repenting Israelites, is mastering our moods. We are very emotional. While we try to live our day-to-day logically, we are oftentimes irrational. We are oftentimes very emotional. And even the best of us, as far as control in that matter, will succumb to that. Now, I'm not saying, and if you get the Star Trek reference, then you do that, we need to be Vulcans, you know, and just, you know, have a stoic look all the time on your face and not display emotion. You're entitled to all your emotions, but how you act them out is what's most important. And that's really what mastering of moods is, because you're never going to do away with them. As a matter of fact, even if you get the Star Trek reference, Vulcans actually experience all those emotions. What they've done is mastered how they display them. And so that means they get angry, they get sad, they get sorrowful, they get worried, they get anxiety, so on and so forth. But they are raised as devoted themselves to logic, right, and dealing with things rationally. So I like that one's first, because that pretty much sets the foundation for all the rest, right? And then right after that, it says watching your words, right? And with that, right, that's the acting upon what you're feeling in a mood. Because when you're angry, what happens? You speak out of turn. You might say things that you regret later on. It's good to be mindful of those type of things. And then restraint of action. So for me, those first three kind of go together, right? They deal with the emotional aspect of things. And then you have the bottom three, and it says sticks to a schedule. All right, manages money wisely and maintains good health. And it's interesting, again, I don't know if whoever wrote this intended it for to be in that order, if they realized the synergy between those. But it made sense to me, because, right, the foundation to everything is a schedule, right? And I noticed the people who tend to struggle the most are those who forego a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you'll hear things like, you know, I can't stick to a schedule. You can't schedule everything, so on and so forth. And this is true. You can't schedule everything, right? There's things called emergent tasks, things that come up as you have things planned. I know intimately what that's like, you know, and I have my day plan and something comes up and takes a higher priority and I got to redirect. But if anything, those type of statements to defend not having a schedule actually show you why even more you need a schedule, because what will happen is you need something to as like a guidepost, as a guide back to getting yourself rerouted after the chaos comes. So even if you can't apply the schedule on the regular, having it there will give you a set point to come back to after the chaos, right, or after emergent stuff comes through, to jump on it. So scheduling is very critical for us. And what you do is you schedule as much as you can, and then you work on it, right? And you learn from it, and you go from there. To not have a schedule is to basically submit to saying, I have no self-control. That's why it's called a fruit of self-control. And I prefer to live a life of as it comes, right? And not be in control. Then you have... manages money wisely. And, you know, it tends to – a lot of people, I think, kind of think of themselves more highly than they ought to when it comes to this. I don't know if we'll be able to get to that level of detail. Maybe we'll do this as a two-parter for Saturday, this Saturday and next. We'll see. About budgeting, right? And, you know, how to deal with that stuff. Managing money wisely is also very critical for us. And there's emotions to that as well. And it maintains good health. Usually, I'll tell you right now, right, the health is very broad in its definition, right? And it can be very subjective even at times, right, like well-being. Health is more than just the absence of sickness, right? So I'm not sick. My blood markers are good. Health also deals with how you feel about life. Do you feel you have purpose? Are you happy, right? There's that goes back to moods as well. And I'll tell you what, people who tend to not have a schedule also will have issues health-wise as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of chaos in them. They might have bad sleep schedules. They might have, issues with maintaining proper eating habits and things like that. And I'm not saying these are people who might be overweight. You can just have bad eating habits and not getting enough nutrients, right? Because your meal timing is off and the type of meal selection and things like that aren't good. So there's a lot that goes into this. So it's very interesting to me how all of these are all together,
mm-hmm,
and how they're presented. And mastering of moods is paramount. Let's go to Galatians 5:17. Because I'm going to show you where self-control is in the Bible. And then if you can look up the definition of temperance for me, and I want the one from Webster, because the Google one is terrible. Let me see. Yeah, the Google one says abstinence from alcoholic drink. Yeah,
that's being temperate.
Yeah. Just look it up and get it ready. We're not going to read it yet. Let's read the scripture. Go ahead.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Now, first and foremost, obviously, this is speaking about, you know, sin and our behavior and our repentance and how we deal with that. But the same principles that apply to this also apply to what we're talking about with the fruits of self-control. The flesh is going to war with the spirit. And the fruits of self-control are spiritual behaviors, right? We must be able to bring this into subjection, master it, like the photo says, in order for us to be able to take better strides with ourselves and with our lives. All right, get me the one in, is it in Wisdom of Solomon, where it talks about the Holy Spirit of discipline?
Yes, sir.
At that real quick, because self-control also goes into discipline, right? Like self-discipline. And this is why I say it's pertinent to say the spirit warf against the flesh. It's spiritual to want to master your mood, to watch your words, to have restraint of actions, to stick to a schedule, to manage money wisely, and to maintain good health. These are all spiritual things because the scripture speaks on these things, right? In various forms, maintains good health. It tells you your temple, you know, how to deal with it. You read in Sirach several scriptures on diet and rest and sleep and cheerfulness of mind. There's others that talk about much carefulness, bring of age before the time. So these are all spiritual things, right? It comes from the Bible. Whether you agree or disagree if it's spiritual or not, if it comes from the Bible, it says these words are spirit, they are life, right? So you're either going to apply it or you're not, right? Go ahead, get that real quick.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5.
Bring it out!
For the Holy Spirit of discipline will flee deceit.
Right? So it says the Holy Spirit of discipline. That's really the point that I want out of that. It's that it's a Holy Spirit. Discipline is a Holy Spirit, all right? I should have had you look up the discipline first as a definition. Let me look it up.
When you're talking about whoever made that list about the synergy between the different points is so true, because if you have a schedule is going to help you manage money wisely, right? Let's say, for instance, every Sunday you go grocery shopping at noon, then you're going to be able to not have to do all these last minute things like, hey, let's eat out four times this week because we didn't plan wisely to go shopping instead. Mm-hmm. You know how expensive those things add up, man.
It
you
really
know?
Does,
it's
right?
Crazy.
No, you're absolutely right. And oftentimes I'll think about that and I'm like, gosh, if you really sit down and thought about it, right? So you're right. A schedule, again, going back to meals, right? Maybe it's not even that you wanted to go out to eat because that was your preference, but your schedule wasn't in order. So now you're struggling. So it's like, damn, I got to buy food now.
Right, exactly.
I didn't time, you know, I didn't eat because I didn't schedule this right or I didn't schedule that right. And again, I'm not saying that would be, you have to be so regimented that that's your every day, right? Some people are going to be able to have that level of discipline to go to that extreme. But having that as a foundation will carry over into all the other areas.
Absolutely.
You know, actually, let me see what this one says. So discipline here says, I don't like that one. Go to Webster. Go to Webster.
No.
Well, no. So it says control gained by enforcing obedience or order, orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. Hey, self-control.
Yep.
Self-control. So it's telling you that self-control is a disciplined spirit. It's a holy spirit, like we just read out of the scriptures. And when it says it will flee deceit, it means you got to be real with yourself. You got to be able to say, hey, this is where I fall short. This is the stuff that I can look to address. And I think that's probably the most challenging thing to getting the fruits of self-control in order. And the one of the biggest ones to me, I think, and because people are just so sensitive about money in general, is money.
Yeah.
I mean, people think they have a budget. I'm telling you, you don't know how many times people lack the fundamentals of what a budget really is. People think the budget is, I look at my check when it comes in, I have my list of my bills, and I paid them. And then whatever's left over, I do something with it. A budget, when it's done correctly, see, actually encompasses your savings goal. It actually encompasses a forecast of money. So, like, for example, when you go out, you'll know how it's going to affect you next month. All right, if I go out today to eat dinner, How's that going to hit me later? And some people will say, well, I can't deal with that. That's too much. Well, then good luck always struggling when it comes to money.
Right. That's why you live paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
You know what? Our people in general don't like schedules because our people hate discipline and they hate order.
That's exactly
because
what it is.
Everything we do is based upon time, right? They'll say, be here at this time, or you get off and go to break at this time. Everything we do in our everyday life is based on time, but because we're being told what to do, in our own lives, we can't discipline ourselves and make schedules. That's why we live in chaos, mm-hmm. and we're okay with that mm-hmm. for the most part.
Right. Hey, go back to that definition. Click on self-control. And then look at what it says. It says restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. Mm-hmm. Exercise, meaning you got to act on it. There's action that needs to happen. And it says it's restraint over your impulses, emotions, or desires. And we were just talking about how money's an emotional thing, how we're rebellious in nature. So this is why yep. people don't want to do a schedule, right? And as much as we may say that we don't like to work through our impulses, deep down our body and our flesh likes to be impulsive.
Yep.
This is what they call like crimes of passion or things like that. We like to go on impulse, right? And it takes discipline for that. So again, you have to acknowledge these things for this Holy Spirit of discipline to reside in you. There's another scripture that tells you wisdom will not reside in a malicious soul. So you have to be able to be open to receive this. And it starts with the acknowledgement of where you fall short and how you can put these things into play. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I am not perfect when it comes to a schedule. I'm the last one. But I exercise many of these fruits of self-control, all right, on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. And it is a stark contrast. It is night and day when I try to do things off the dome versus me putting it down. Now, does that mean you're not going to make mistakes? Does that mean things might not slip through the cracks? No, nobody's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're telling you, you'll operate in a better space. And all these things are synergistic in this photo that we showed you. And they'll be in a better place. You got something you're going to bring up?
No, but I did want to make a point, though. Even like the word exercise, right? Understanding that you're not going to walk past a Planet Fitness and walk in there and then walk out looking like Ronnie Coleman. It's something that takes time, discipline, patience, everything else. The same thing with having these things exercise in your everyday life. It's going to be something that it's going to be difficult because it's outside your normal operating norms.
Mm-hmm.
But like with regular physical exercise, you exercise it and then you become consistent in it.
Oh, and then it becomes easy. I'll give you an example. I during the pandemic, I started jumping rope because the gyms were closed. And I said, gosh, what am I going to do? I said, you know, I don't got the treadmill. I don't like running, right? I mean, sprinting I'll do, but like just running, you know. you know, I like riding bike. I could have done that, but, you know, that gets dry. So I said, I need something that I can do. For me, I prefer kind of shorter intensity. High intensity, shorter workouts, right? Than doing this whole, let me run at a steady pace for, you know, an hour or whatever. That's just not me. It's just not me. Plus I'm naturally inclined to be quick. Like I'm relatively fast, you know, as compared to whatever, but in general, I'm pretty fast. So I said, yo, I like to do things with speed. So I started doing jump rope, right? I started doing stuff with weighted ropes, and I look at from where I started to where I am today. And it's night and day, whereas, you know, I was huffing and puffing and I was doing stuff and it was uncomfortable. And through the process of doing it continually, the point is it becomes easier, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do? More challenges will come your way. You step up the intensity. So now, you know, I jump rope and it's like boom, boom, boom. And what's crazy, here's the ultimate thing I want you to get from that. As you become more efficient at the things that are uncomfortable, it'll actually have a more profound effect. And what I mean by that is this. When I was jumping rope for 20 minutes before, it was a lot of resting. It was at a slower tempo. There was a lot of tripping. So I was not actually burning as many calories,
mm-hmm.
right? At that time, at the level that I was at, it was certainly helping me. But now, so I might have been burning, I don't know, 250 calories.
No,
right?
Yeah, 50, yeah. 50, 50. I get the alert.
Yeah, he gets it. We share Apple Health with each other. So
I get the alerts, bro. It's definitely night and day for sure.
And then now I'll do 20 minutes, and because I've gotten so much better at it, I'm able to go have so much more intensity. So I actually burn more calories,
yeah.
and it feels easier to me than it did when I first started. It's the same thing with any of these things that come to self-control. It's going to be hard at first. It's going to be difficult, but you got to keep pushing through it.
Yeah.
And not only will it become easier, it will be more profound in your life because you've started to master it.
When Christ says that you must needs be born again, it doesn't just mean learn how to not eat pork no more. It covers every single aspect of your life. Everything that is normal for you, that makes you feel uncomfortable, you got to break those things away and start disciplining yourself with the Holy Spirit of discipline to start making these changes and these masterings of moods and things like that.
Right. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking it because I've walked many miles in these situations, and I am still working daily to apply that Holy Spirit of discipline to make sure that it does not flee from me,
mm-hmm.
so that it can reside with me, so that I can continue to grow and develop and be. It doesn't stop. Right. It's not like you go into this thing and it'll be autopilot. It doesn't stop. And there's always opportunity to do better and be better and continue to move forward that way.
Yep.
Let's go back to Galatians 5. And now I want you to jump to 22.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law.
So I want to focus on temperance, right? So to let you know that the fruits of self-control actually fall under the fruits of the Spirit. And temperance, when you look up temperance, are you looking up exercise?
Well, appreciate you. That's fine. Thank you.
It says moderation in action, thought, or feeling. Again, self-control. So we looked up discipline, and one of the little definitions was self-control. And now it says restraint.
Yep.
Look at what 2A says, habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites or passions.
Mm.
Habitual, meaning that's why I say it's something you have to apply daily. So the Bible calls it temperance, self-control. The Bible calls self-control discipline. And it lets you know that they're all Holy Spirit. So to apply these things in your life, so like Cap was saying, it's not just learn how to not eat pork, learn how to do this, learn how to do that. We must continue. Listen, we are gods, but we shall die like men. So we're carnal, right?
That's right.
In the kingdom of heaven, we're going to be that archetype, that epitome of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be that thing, we need to start rehearsing those things now. Now, there's nobody perfect, right? Christ said only the Father in heaven is perfect, but that does not mean we do not strive towards that.
Absolutely.
Right? That we just, I'm just resigned. To just be resigned to not try to apply these things is a defeatist attitude. You're telling me you're a quitter. Dare I say a loser, right? And I don't mean a loser that maybe you don't have some measures of success in your life, but I mean you're content and you're okay with that stuff rather than fighting to continue to build your spirit. I was listening to Bishop. I don't know if it was one of these evil holidays. You know, he traditionally does the Thanksgiving, so-called Thanksgiving, or the New Year's, or the Christmas Day class,
mm-hmm.
You know, to keep those of us who are repenting away from that nonsense. And he was talking about Romans 12 and 2, is it? Be ye conformed?
Yes.
Be ye transformed. Get that real, because it goes with what you were saying earlier.
The book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 1, or just get straight to the point.
What does 1 say?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Right. So our purpose in keeping God's commandments and fearing him as the whole duty of man, we also want to work, because that goes. I'm glad you brought that up, because that goes with what I had said previously, that in the perfecting of ourselves, this is part of that walk as well. Right. So he's telling you we want to bring ourselves to a higher place. Right. If we're going to be gods. Right. If we are gods and we're going to be godlike in the kingdom of heaven, Lord's will we make it, then we need to work to perfect ourselves in this, right? So he says, that's your reasonable service, to work on all these things. And I think a lot of times we stop at the ceremonial stuff. Mm-hmm. We stop at the dietary stuff. And where I see people stagnate in their growth, myself included, is with the things that are emotional, the morality, that stuff, right? Go ahead, read on.
Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
You know why that had to be mentioned at all about being not conformed to this world? It goes back to Galatians 5:17 with the spirit and the flesh. When you're in this world, it has an influence on you. You cannot say that it doesn't. It influences our behavior. It influences our action. It influences our dress. It influences the foods that we like, all that stuff like that.
That's why it's so important. When Christ said, be ye therefore perfect, he himself said, no one's perfect but his Father. But he's letting you know that perfection can be achieved if you are constantly striving for it.
Bring it out.
He's letting you know that we're living in a world that not only is okay with imperfection, but imperfection is seen as the norm.
Yes.
So it's okay to live contrary to what the Bible says. So when it says to not be conformed to this world, that's heavy, man, because he's letting you know, listen, you're living in a world where perfection cannot – you're being told – that you're perfect for being imperfect, basically, is like what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, like, what's that song by I Was Born This Way, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, right.
I was born this way. We were born in sin, right? We were born carnal,
right?
And we are not – see, the world teaches us I'm born this way, so just let me accept it, right? Do you and I'm going to do me, right? That's that – you know, mind your business, basically, is the type of thing that's put out there, right? And that's not what the Bible says. We have to realize that's this one verse that we're reading is very heavy. And Bishop touched on it, like I said, in one of those classes he did recently towards the end of the year. And he was emphasizing this. And I've often been a strong proponent of this. I think I did a class on it a couple years back called Be Transformed. Mm-hmm. And that part where it says be not conformed to this world – you got to ask yourself, well, why would this even have to be written? Why would this have to be mentioned? To let you know how powerful the confirmation to this world is, even when you believe that you are a spiritual person. And then he says, but what be, yeah, read it from the top.
And be not conformed to this world.
Don't be conformed to this world, come on.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
But he says you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformation is more than just, like you said, building yourself up to not eat pork, to keep the dietary law, building yourself up, you know, to keep the Ten Commandments. If you're truly living all those commandments, within that should be a behavior pattern that can be seen. This is why it says your light shall shine before men. You know, a city that's on a hilltop cannot be hid. You don't light a candle to put it under a bed. It's going to show. Because you'll have a lot of people that'll be like, well, I apply commandments and I'm this and that. But then you see them in a life of chaos, a life of no self-control with the fruits of self-control, like we brought up, no mastery of their moods, you know, all types of things. So then you got to ask yourself, are you really spiritual?
That's a part of what Paul was saying in Romans 2 when he was talking about not being a hypocrite, about how the things start inwardly. Absolutely. Right. I didn't wake up one day and just say, oh, you know what? I think I'm Israel. Let me stop doing this and start doing that. It starts inwardly with your faith, but then it manifests outwardly and people can see the examples of your physical change and your spiritual change as long as you're warring against the flesh and keeping the spirit walking uprightly with Christ.
Right. And that's heavy to just say that how it manifests outwardly, meaning it's not something that even needs to be, look at me. I got fruits of self-control.
Right.
You'll be known and seen as a person that way. And it's also interesting because, again, we're using the dietary law as an example. How do you prove that you're keeping the dietary law except by abstaining, right? Nobody sees your abstinence in that, right? So that's what I'm saying. There's a difference between those things and there's a progression to the things that are weightier because, right, people can see you keeping the Sabbath, for example, right? Because you show up, you're keeping the Sabbath. People can see you keeping the fringes. But there's certain laws, right, that it's kind of like only you know whether or not you're keeping those or not, right? Like the only way I would know you're not keeping the dietary laws is if I saw you eating something unlawful, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the manifestation of these spiritual gifts, of these fruits of the Spirit, and when you read them in Galatians 5, not to have glazed over some of them, but how do you display love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? You do by it just manifesting itself. Basically, you have to embody those things in order to show them. It's not like, look, let me show you that I'm wearing fringes. It's not like, look, you see me turn down pork.
Yeah.
It has to show in your character. It has to show in your personality in order for people to see that.
That's a part about it being about be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're being completely transformed from being that old man, that old woman, and now taking on and putting on the full armor of Christ.
Hey, just like these people running with that water baptism stuff, and you're a sinner, and then you come out a wet sinner, is no different if you're still Tyrone in your spirit, right? You're still Raul in your spirit, right? And, you know, you're working around, you know, why? Because you teach some scriptures, because you do this, because you do that, and think that you really transform. Transformation means you're not the same person.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's why there's another thing people are saying is live your real life. Live your real life. If your real life was acceptable to God, then he wouldn't require change in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing that on social media, and it's driving me insane because obviously when we live our own real life, we fall into sin. That's why he said, don't lean upon your own understanding.
Yeah.
That's why he gives us the blueprint right here. Just follow this. This is the way, walking in it.
Right. And I'm not talking about fruits of the spirit today in the Sabbath class that I'm going to do, but we're going to talk about being a wise builder today, right? And are you a wise builder? Because I think we have a level of complacency in this walk where we look at the commandments on the surface and not go deeper into it. God didn't just give us these laws just because he felt like it. There was a rationale behind it, and he realized that this was going to be the stuff that was going to be our armor in the earth. This was going to be the thing that was our wisdom in the sight of the nations.
Yep.
The spirituality of these laws in keeping them should manifest a transformation in you. And if it has not done so up until this point, it's because you have not opened yourself up to receive it. All Israel has that opportunity to be transformed by these laws, but we resist it. The lust of other things, the lust, the carnal, the spiritual is there. Look up transformation just so you can see how dramatic transformation really is as a definition. It didn't say change. It didn't say make progress. It said be ye transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Be ye transformed. Look at this one. It says a thorough. Something thorough means nothing is missed.
Mm-hmm.
Thorough. A thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance.
That's right.
Look, one of the similar words is conversion.
Yep.
A conversion. Hey, look at another one. It says a sea change. You know how in order for the sea to change, meaning it's momentous,
mm-hmm.
right? Go down revolutionizing. Revolution.
Yep.
Some of them. Let's see what Miriam says. You know, I like Miriam.
Bring it out.
Let me see. What does Miriam say? And actually, Miriam's not that strong in this one. I don't like that one. She's being very technical, Miriam. Miriam's being real technical. What about, Cambridge popped up. Sometimes Cambridge be good. Hey, okay, go to Cambridge, the Cambridge link. I like this one. A complete change. Complete. Not partial, not halfway, right? A complete change in the appearance or character of something or someone. Note, that's crazy because I just used the word character. You show it in your character. Character of something or someone, especially so that the thing or person is improved. A transformation is an improvement on yourself. A transformation is something that, look how the sentence, I'd never seen Jose in a tuxedo before. It was quite a transformation.
You know what, like to give you a real basic example about this, like, I'll use me for example. I like to joke and be jovial and have a good time, right? But the scripture taught me that there's a time and a season for everything. So now I can be more grave and more serious in certain situations where before I would use laughter to try to downplay everything.
Yeah.
I'm still the same person because that's the spirit that the Lord gave me to be able to joke and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've been transformed into being able to be this whole complete package of what God wanted me to be.
Bring it out!
Yep. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point that you bring out. Hey,
Because I'm very funny.
Sister Myra put a good point here. She said, just like a caterpillar changes to a butterfly, the transformation is complete. Right. It's almost unrecognizable, right? Mm-hmm. It's something totally different. And that's really what transformation is, right? It's so powerful in that. Let's get Proverbs 25:28.
I like that you used the word character, though. That was good.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I don't often go to Cambridge, but that was good. I'm working off some of my old notes here, but I want to see this. Hold on, before you go there. So let's go back to the picture real quick. Let's talk about the mastering of moods, right? We'll start breaking some of these down.
Let me see. That was an excellent class too, man.
Mastering of moods. Lord's will, we can drop it.
Was working on it.
Bro, the date in my notebook for when I did that class was July 18th, 2020. Been working on that thing for a long time.
I had to put the audio with the video together. Like, you were just talking, and then the audio was playing different. So I had to, like, read your lips. I know you now, by now, and I know when you stop and when you say and huh and all these things. So I'm working on
it. Oh, you know me? You know me?
I know you.
You know me now?
Hey, calm down, okay? I'm the Jonathan to his David. Relax.
Well, don't get so excited, all
I'm
right?
I'm Alicia. You can be Jonathan. I'll be Alicia.
No, he means that he knows me as I'm teaching. I guess my quirks and stuff is teaching, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right. You're not my John, all right? I don't have a Jonathan. I have a John. I have a John. Correct. Sometimes I have a Johnny, but not a Jonathan yet.
Okay. I can be. There's many other things. Many apprentices. Yeah. Not John, then I can be Joshua. I can be Elisha. I can be the 12 disciples.
I think you should be Ishaya for a little while.
There you go.
And then you know, you can use the word disciples of what you want to be. He's quiet now. He will bring it out. That's it. Let me be quiet. Bruh. Proverbs 25:28.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
Right. So mastering of moods. You have to master those moods. That's why it's a fruit of self-control, temperance, discipline. If you don't have rule of your own spirit, and that doesn't just deal with anger, it says just rule of your own spirit. Remember Galatians 5:17. Where it says the spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You must have rule of your spirit. You must have a mastery of this thing. And it says you're like a city without walls. Well, you got to think, well, what is the characteristic of a city without walls? Meaning you are subject to any provocation if you don't have walls. This is the person that's overly sensitive, offended very easily. When trials and tribulations come, things are very problematic for them. They don't know how to deal with it. Even when it's not trials and tribulations, they get a little extra stress in their life and there's a breakdown.
Yep.
And they don't know how to control it. They don't know how to react. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of, right? You have to be able to master your mood. And notice, I love the analogy of the city without walls. It's not saying that those things still won't happen. But if you've mastered your mood, right? So a city with walls, what? When it's bombarded, will be able to resist those things.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come, it will still stand. So as these things happen to you, you'll be able to withstand the storms, withstand the waves, right? And then still be able to carry on with your life. The difference being, without the walls, your whole life is disrupted because all those things enter in and breach in, and you don't know how to control those things. And listen, this applies to a multitude of things, far more than I could, ever encompass in any one class, because what you got to do is take this information and just in those moments realize this and say, hey, how am I applying this? Am I moving in this spirit? Am I acting in a form of self-control, or am I letting my emotions rule me, which is then, you know, not spiritual.
That's right.
I'm trying to see, because I have some notes here, if I want to go to some of these other ones. I don't know if I do in these, because I'm trying to do the condensed version of this. That's pretty good. Let's go to Sirach 6 and 18.
The book of Sirach, chapter 6 and verse 18. My son, gather instruction from thy youth up, so shalt thou find wisdom till thine old age.
We never stop learning. It says you should gather instruction from your youth up. And I bring this out because we have to understand none of us should sit here thinking that we got it.
Nope.
By any measure. And guess what? That's another way that you know you've not mastered your mood. If that enters your mind, that enters your spirit. You know, some people got this smug thing about them, like, right. Like, you can't tell me nothing. You can't teach me nothing.
That's part of the example of when Solomon, who was the wisest man, right, said, be not righteous over much. We like to take that and say, well, stop reading labels on certain things. Mm-hmm. It's a part of it, absolutely. But it's also, don't think you ever come to a point where you stop learning.
Right.
You're always ever learning. That's why I can read a scripture that I read a thousand times, and it gives me a whole complete different understanding and meaning, because mm-hmm. you're always evolving in this truth.
Hey, and the other thing too is I'll see other brothers bring out a scripture that may have come out a bunch of times or that I've used, and it might be brothers that are junior to me in the spirit, and I'll be like, damn, that's a good take on that. I'll give you an example. I had been in the spirit wanting to do a class on the prodigal son, right? I want to break down that parable. And I have my notes, for the most part, set up. And interestingly, I had seen Captain Josiah do it on the radio show they do Fridays. Mm-hmm. I had heard a couple, like maybe like 5-10 minutes of it. I reached out to him. I said, hey, I want to see some of your notes and see what you got, because you said some interesting things that I didn't have in my mind for how I want to prepare this.
Yes.
I said, let me get that so I could do that. If I was sitting here and be like, I'm a 3,000, he's 100 and a young one at that, like as far as how long he's been 100, and not open myself to receiving that, then that's not the right spirit to be in. I've stopped my development, right? But I realize that I'm still open to learning. Hey, sometimes a brother will bring up on the officer chat. I'll be like, damn, that's good. That's a good script. And then maybe I'll expound upon it more or whatever. You're ever learning.
I've done it often in our travels when we go to camps or over and I meet somebody for the first time or like men's conference, whatever. And I say, I meet somebody. Oh, man, hey, all praise the Lord. Nice to meet you. You're one of my favorite teachers. And they're like an officer of 50 or 20 or whatever.
And they like freaked out, right?
Yeah, they're like what? And I'm like, yeah, bro, just the way you can bring things out. I really appreciate when you do teach.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Because we're always learning.
Open to that. Always learning. So he says, you will gather instruction from thy youth up. The reason he's telling him this is because he's letting him know, stay open to receive.
Yep.
Don't ever sit there thinking that you can't learn something. Right. And it says, so shalt thou find wisdom till thy own age. Meaning, if you don't want a cap on your wisdom, you want your cup to run over with wisdom. Mm-hmm. You have to be open to realize that you're ever learning, that you continually will be able to learn something. If not, the opposite will happen. And your wisdom is going to have a certain level. You're going to stop and never be able to develop or grow more because you stop listening. Let me see. No, let's jump to verse 20.
Verse 20. She is very unpleasant to the unlearned.
Wisdom is unpleasant to the unlearned, right? So your basic understanding is so that you can be considered learned starts with you understanding that you always have to be open to receive instruction. Gather it, not just open, but gather it from your youth up. And it says the people that don't want to do that, that there's a block for them in that, it's because it's unpleasant to them. Come on.
He that is without understanding will not remain with her.
If you're without understanding, you will not remain with her, right? It's going to be a problem. Let me see what else I want to go to here. I'm not going to go into the different because I had broke down patience when I did this. Mm-hmm. The class is going to drop if you want to see it. I have went into wrath, right? Even envy. As a spirit, let's talk a little bit about watch your words. Let's talk about watch your words. So bring the graphic up again. And it says watching your words, right? So this is restraint of how you speak, right? Part of the steps of mastering your mood is to be able to restrain yourself, all right, appropriately when it comes to how you speak. A lot of times, in dealing with the men, that's one of the things I try to deal with them about and be like, hey, maybe you need somebody else who's a little more seasoned in speaking to brothers to kind of be able to find out, you know, what's the issue here with this brother, what's going on there. Right. And with that, and this is very hard for us, I'm going to tell you how you know that we're none of us are infallible. We tend to actualize and inflect upon situations, our own thoughts, and how we might react to a situation in dealing of matters with others. And it's a very challenging thing to do, to be able to go into a situation with no preconceived notions, especially if you are familiar with a person. I'm not even going to say if you know somebody, because the deepness of knowing somebody goes beyond a friendship. Goes beyond a long working relationship. It even goes beyond being a family that was raised together.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that we're ever changing, especially when you're in this walk. So to say that you know somebody, all right, and it's a small thing, but it's it kind of shuts down the whole processes of being open to seeing somebody's transformation also, mm-hmm. is my point. So even if you're familiar with somebody, right, we tend to go into these situations without being open to it. So you got to watch your words and how you say things to others. Let's get Psalms 18 and 21. This is why the Bible talks so much about, I mean, again, I'm just going to go through a few about the tongue.
The book of Psalms, chapter 18, verse 21.
Bring it out.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God.
Right. Wait, is that one out? Damn. There's this one. I'm sorry. Proverbs 18, 21.
But that one's good, too. Highlight that one, too.
That is a good one.
That's right.
I hate when I do that. And it literally says Proverbs. I just didn't look at it right. Did not look at it correctly.
That's weird because your handwriting is so pristine.
He's being sarcastic. You've seen my handwriting. It's horrible. I never
practiced.
Oh, be quiet, you.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Right, because that's how powerful words can be. You can literally, by words, drive somebody, right, to death or life. Hey, I saw that wild video of the people that killed each other in over the snow in Philadelphia.
Crazy.
I mean, they were heathen, but
crazy.
Power of the tongue, right? If they'd have just not said certain things, right, they'd have not been shot up. That thing was terrible. That, hey, it's not the blood, right? Because it actually, if you think about it, there's more. I've seen more gore in movies as far as violence. That video was very disturbing to me. Like, it stood with me, like, the whole day after I watched it, because I was just like, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's, talk about rule your spirit, right? And even though we know this isn't for them, they have a murderous spirit that's in them, but that's not to say that our people aren't above those type of behaviors. If not, we wouldn't have the black-on-black crime, right?
Right.
You wouldn't see the gangs and us killing each other cold-blooded over sneakers and things like that. So we're not isolated in that. No. That's only a trait indicative of them. But the difference is we have the ability to rule our spirit better, and we don't. And we come from lifestyles where we didn't. Like, going back to the beginning of the show, where we lived growing up, where it was, hey, like, you know, I do me, and that's it, right? And imperfection is okay. We don't attain for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You are the way you are, and people should just accept that, and that's it. And that's not the case. That this walk is not like that at all. So it says death and life are in the tongue, right? So from a literal sense, you can say something that might set somebody off. And also spiritually, you don't know if you're going to destroy somebody's spirit in this walk, right? So we got to be careful, very mindful of how we say certain things. Now, that's not meaning, right, because you have some people, again, and that's on you not mastering your mood, that you only want to be spoken to with your back being rubbed,
right?
Meaning smooth words and things like that. Sometimes, you know, you need those strong words. You need those firm rebukes. Other times, no, right? So death and life are in the tongue. Come on.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Right? So meaning the words, right? It's talking about the words, right? So you're going to receive it. There's fruit from it, right? You're going to learn stuff about people from it. It's going to affect you in different ways. Proverbs 12, 18.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
Right. Some people, that's not even rude in speech, right? Rude in speech is when you need to make a point and you're teaching and you're going to be abrupt in how you do it, right? When it talks about there's some that have a sword, there's just some people that no matter what, they don't know how to say something. Right. And again, it's not that you need rubbing in the back. It's not that you need any of that. It's just that there's some people who everything that comes out of their mouth is inappropriate or strong. Right. It says it pierces like a sword. And then it says the wise, there's health. So oftentimes we'll have situations with brothers that we're bringing up and learning. And we're like, hey, there's a certain way that you can approach this. There's a certain way that you could say this. There's a certain way that things could come out in this regard, meaning you want to be able to be a wise reprover so that they can receive whatever it is that you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What profit is it for you that I'm going to say it the way I need to say it? And if your end goal is you're trying to get somebody to receive something. So you got to be able to bring it about and speak about it in a manner that they're going to be able to receive it, that they're going to be able to receive it. Let me see what else I want here as far as this. Oh, Proverbs 15:4.
the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 4.
Bring it out.
A wholesome tongue is a tree of life.
A wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. I have a little letter next to my Bible, and it says the healing of the tongue. Come on.
But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit.
So going back to the mastering of your moods, if your tongue is not wholesome, it says it's a perverseness of spirit. Going back to this whole opening of the show, we were talking about your spirit ain't right. It's your spirit that's not correct if you do not watch your words. This is why I said they all have synergy with each other. So that the mastering of moods, the watching your words, all of those things go together. So it's letting you know a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. That means you had a breach in your spirit if perverseness came out of your mouth, if you did not speak properly. And I'm not saying, listen, we are all subject to that. We are all subject to that. Things come out of our mouth sometimes, and it's because we have not mastered our moods. We must do better in working on that. Continue to learn how to adjust it. Because then you got the other side where, you know, people just think, all right, well, since 70 times 70, I'm just not going to worry about changing this, and you got to keep forgiving me. And yeah, I got to keep forgiving you, but it don't mean I got to keep a relationship with you. It don't mean I got to keep hanging around you then if that's the case.
Well, not only that, and then what if you didn't make it to that 70 times 70 and that person went back to the world based upon the perverseness that was coming out of you?
Yeah, think about those
things. And then you got to account for that soul on that day of judgment. That's some scary stuff, man.
Yeah. Let's get Ephesians 4:29. All right? That's another good one.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 29.
Bring it out!
Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
So don't let corrupt. That goes into the perverseness. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why?
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
We have to ask ourselves when we say something, is what I'm about to say edifying? I think if we would stop a little bit and realize that our words should be used for edification, right? And that's not to say that means don't point out faults in people. That doesn't mean to remember, the scripture tells us to provoke each other to good works.
Mm-hmm.
And provocation, and I've gone over this before, when you go down you drill down the definition of provocation, it's not always a pleasant thing. To provoke somebody is an agitating action.
Yep.
And it should elicit an agitating action. And if you feel provoked by certain words, and it's words that were intended to edification, and you take offense by it, there's something. I'll give you an example. Wellness checks, right? We have brothers and sisters that they'll say, hey, I'm not going to make it to the Sabbath today. Well, we know that we're commanded to keep the Sabbath, right? It's not a brother that or sister that necessarily works on it. And then they give no reason for it, right? They just say, hey, I'm not going to make it to the Sabbath. And then they don't even want that. They get offended when you ask them why they're not making it to the Sabbath.
Right. Right.
That's love when we ask a question like that and for you to give a reason. And if you're offended that we ask it, it's probably, you know, deep down inside your reason for not coming is not a very good one. And you just rather not be spoken to about it. And listen, once, twice, right? After that, if we stop asking about you, hey, just roll with it.
That's that. Let me do me spirit.
That's that. Goes that's right exactly back to that. And that is also a sensual spirit, having not the spirit. That sensual has a lot to do with it. Sometimes we go with the extreme when we read that in Jude, where it says being sensual, having not the spirit themselves. And we often think that separation is that they just stop congregating. But sometimes the separating is the distancing of conversation,
absolutely,
the distancing of communication, the distancing of friendship. So there's levels to the sensuality. And if you go with something, and I use the Sabbath as an example because that one should be black and white. There are other gray areas, right, where it's like, okay, you know, I don't really need to get all in your business like that. That's fine.
Right.
But if it's something in relation to commandments or something where we're all supposed to be unified and doing something in the spirit, right, there should not be offense when we ask that. But like I said, usually if somebody don't want to say why they're not attending the Sabbath, is because they know it's not a solid reason for them not to say. They're cut already in their own mind.
Yep.
And that's the devil on them. Hey, that's that. Can you get that scene in Lord of the Rings where Bilbo sees the ring on Frodo And he like freaks out for a second because he wanted to hold it. And he was like, no. And his whole chase face and everything changed. I don't know if it was Return of the King. I don't know if it was. Wait, is that when it? Hold on. Go on. Jump scare scream. I don't know if that's something silly or what. Bilbo attacking Frodo. Let's try that one. Let's try that one. And we're almost done here
give
with
me,
this part
give me
of
one
it.
Second, I
yeah.
gotta...
We'll continue this topic on Lord's Will next Sabbath and go a little more into the, because I do want to spend time on the other part with the scheduling and the budgeting and try to equip some people with some tools and some references for that sort of thing. But going back to this, where it talks about to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's read verse 30.
Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Right, so we have to be mindful of it. So, a simple request out of care, and, you know, it's somebody that you know that's there, should not be taken, like, in a bad way. And this is why it should just be volunteered, really, yeah. if you think about it. Yeah. Hey, I'm not coming to the Sabbath because of this, right? I'm not coming to the Sabbath because of that, right? And there shouldn't be an offense when somebody asks for a follow-up, right? And that happens a lot with the brothers.
A lot.
And this is men.
Hey, the scripture says that we must know the state of the flock, right? And like Captain Yashua said, it's coming from a place of care. We genuinely say, oh, man, you know what? Hey, where's the brother at? Hey, where's such and such? Hey, find out, you know, is everything okay with him? That's literally where it's coming from, a place of care, because we must know the state of the flock. But like you said, it's more often the brothers. For some reason, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah, I think in general, the sisters, from what I know, are usually pretty good at communicating stuff with each other.
Yeah.
Right. But you see it a lot with the brothers. There's like an offense.
They're like, "Hey, brother, you're not here. Everything good? It ain't sin." Like, okay. Thou sayest.
Oh man. Hey, I'm telling you, that's wild, because that goes to show you the mind still ain't ready, man. Because that's the same brother, or if it does happen to be a sister, that when they sit in that judgment scene of Christ, and Christ is playing the story of their life in front of them, yep. right? And the Most High is playing that, and Christ is meeting for them, they're going to show him something and be like, it ain't sin.
Yeah.
You going to say that to God?
Oh, man.
You going to say that to Christ? It ain't sin.
It ain't
Jesus
sin,
Christ! We love you, God!
Are you ready for me?
So light.
Yes, yes. Made by the elves, you know. The blade glows blue when orcs are close. And it's times like that, my lad, when you have to be extra careful.
Oh, no, they didn't do it right. He was asking to see the ring if he could hold it. They didn't do it right. Go to see what the other one says. Jump scare. See what that was. And the one that was longer, 144. Let's see if that's it. And move forward a little bit.
Old sword. Here, take it.
So he's equipping him for his journey, right? And he had given him the ring, and the ring is like seductive, right?
Yes, made by the elves, you know. The blade glows blue when orcs are close. And it's times like that, my... Let me see you put it on.
Right, so now he sees the ring, right? And the point that I'm getting here is that this is how some people, when they're defensive, act.
My own dream.
Reach of the spirit is what we're trying to say.
I much like to hold the ticket one last time.
That's how it be happening when, like, you go to somebody, you be like, hey, I'm not coming to the Sabbath. Why are you not coming to the Sabbath? Why are you all in my business? Leave me alone. It's not sin. Breach of the spirit. Yep. It's a breach of the spirit. Why should there be offense for somebody asking you for something you want to do good? Like you said, we got to know the state of the flock.
Absolutely.
And sometimes from a personal perspective, right? Bro, if I know that your attendance is impeccable and you're not going to tell me why you're not coming, but as a friend, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, right.
Not even as somebody who's in my charge. I'm going to be like, bro, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? and try not to presume, right, and all that stuff. On our end, we got to be that way. So the point is the mastering of moods and the watching the words, it's both ends.
Yep.
Right? It's an interdependency for those things to go well. So you got to be on that. Oh, she said, but I'm coming to the wedding. Oh, I know what you... We did have a sister that was like that. Shit. Recently. She wasn't coming to no Sabbaths, but she wanted to come to the wedding. Oh,
bruh.
Damn. You wrong. You wrong. No, you right. You right. You in the right spirit. She brought
that's
that out.
Right?
I forgot about her. I forgot about her. All upset about that. But
that's
that...
a cut. That's a cut.
Yeah, that's a good example. hey, Lord's will, next Sabbath, we'll continue on with this topic. I think there was what's next after watching of words, and the class goes into it much deeper. All right, restraints of reactions, which is kind of a parallel. So we'll talk about that a little bit, and then but next week I want to focus on sticking to the schedule, managing money, maintaining good health, give you some scriptures on some of those behaviors, and I even think I have put some links for resources, because not everybody understands what goes into a schedule. Not everybody knows really what goes into a basic budget, right? You got to start somewhere, right? You can't throw somebody off the deep end into something real complex. And then, of course, maintaining good health. You know, I'm not even going into necessarily specific dietary instructions and things like that, but just good health in general and things like that. So Lord's will bring some of that stuff out. Any final words?
Okay. No, sir. No, sir.
All right. Well, that's the show. Hey, check us out on Wednesday for the Power Hour Plus. All right. 7 p.m. Arizona time, 9 p.m. Eastern, at least until the time change, which is coming up next month, I think.
Yep. It's quick.
Not for us, but everybody else changes the time. You know, we've been going over the book War Against All Puerto Ricans, Revolution and Terror in America's Colony. We will continue on with that. There's still a lot of good tidbits in there. We got to jump in, show you. And the reason I like that is, one, it's Ephraim. So, you know,
there it is.
It's my tribe.
Bring
it out! And two, it's very recent history.
Right.
Because one of the things people get when we bring up the conquistadors and slaveries is people can distance themselves from that because mm-hmm. they can't see themselves in that role. But if you go back to the, you know, early 1900s, mid 1900s, some of the incidents, even up until the 1990s, were occurring in Puerto Rico. It makes it a little more real for people mm-hmm. when you see it that way. So, all right. So that's the show. Everybody have a blessed Sabbath. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low.
Keeping them
when
low.
The Lord returns, Babylon will fall.
Three
steps solid.
Solid.